Well, with all this heat, it's kind of got me thinking. It's been a little over 10 years ago since we moved back here to New Jersey from Arizona. So this heat's nothing compared to Arizona, let me tell you. But even though it's been a while, there are some things that are etched in my mind that we experienced there. And one of the things that's kind of etched in my mind is when we attended our first Arizona Diamondbacks baseball game. And the reason why it's kind of etched in my mind is because they were playing the Phillies, which was kind of cool. And out there, the stadium's kind of neat. It's got the retractable roof and all that. And the Diamondbacks, they're not really that bad of a baseball team. But, you know, I'm a Phillies fan. So I was there to support them. But being a Phillies fan, I'm also kind of know the score a little bit. So I know all too well what supporting an opposing team faces when it's in enemy territory. I've seen it at Phillies games, so I'm thinking the worst, you know, going to a Diamondbacks games. So I still wore my jersey because I'm a Phillies fan, but I put a jacket on over it just in case. I didn't want to get, you know, beat up or yelled at or anything like that. So just in case. However, upon arriving at the game, you know, I found something very interesting. There were other Philly fans there. In fact, there was a lot of them. And I was like, hey. So, you know, I lost the jacket, and the rest of the time, I represented my team proudly. In fact, when we live out there, I was all about all my Philly teams. You see, it was time for me to let everyone know whose side I was on. And it's this theme that Paul kind of touches upon today as we continue our journey through Romans. Today, we're in Romans chapter 13. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Romans chapter 13. And this book of Romans, this letter to the Romans, Paul wrote this to the young Christians that are in the churches in Rome. And he wrote it to encourage them, but also to encourage us as believers today regarding the importance of the gospel. So that's what Romans is about, the supremacy, the importance of the gospel. In fact, this good news of forgiveness of sins and life with God by faith through the work of Jesus Christ, it not only unifies us, brings us together, but it enables us to stand strong in the face of any opposition. But even more than that, it impacts our world as it's unleashed in and through our lives. So in this letter of Romans, just to kind of give you a quick recap, the first 11 chapters of Romans, Paul talks about our need for the means to and the benefits of salvation. How the gospel basically is unleashed in us. Then beginning in chapter 12, he turns a corner. He begins looking outward. Basically how the gospel then is unleashed through us. Out into our everyday life. And this unleashed living that he talks about. It begins right off the bat in verse 1 of chapter 12. When he urges us, he says, you know, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. So to present ourselves to God, so that our minds can be renewed, so that as we follow Jesus, God's will be seen in us, right? And in this, the gospel is unleashed through things like our gifts, this empowerment that God gives us to serve each other. It's unleashed through our love for each other, especially loving our enemies. And then as we saw last week, it's also unleashed in the way that we live life as good citizens in society. Well, today, Paul closes out Romans 13 by calling for this gospel to touch another important area of our lives. So let's read it. We're going to start in verse 18 of Romans 13. We'll read through it, and then we'll talk about what Paul's saying here. He says, owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law, the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And any other commandment are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. So we're going to stop right there. Now you probably noticed when we started reading this, you're like, Paul's talking about love again. Didn't he just talk about that a chapter back? Yes, he did. And we're going to get into what he's talking about with love here in a moment. But really, the key to this whole passage is found in verse 11. So I want you to look back at verse 11, because this is the key to what he's talking about in this encouragement, in this unleashed gospel. He says, besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. This whole encouragement is in light of the fact that the days are drawing down. Do you know what that means? The return of Jesus is soon. Basically, Paul's saying, it's time for us to wake up because Jesus is coming back soon. Now, if it was true during the evilness and all the evil that was in the Roman Empire around 60 AD when Paul's writing this, and he's saying, it's close. How much closer is it, some almost 2,000 years later in our day and age, that Jesus is coming back? So this encouragement is for us today too, right? You see, as believers, this world, it's not our home. We're very much like me being out in Arizona, strangers in a strange land. Our home awaits us in heaven. And when Jesus returns, he's going to take us there. So Paul's saying in our remaining time here on earth, Paul is encouraging believers to stand out, to be different, to get woke, to use a modern day word, right? For us to be different, to proudly represent Jesus as we raise our banner for him, as we stick our flag into the ground and say, no, this is what I am about. Bearing witness to others of things like the forgiveness, the grace, the salvation of God for us that can also be theirs. Here, Paul is basically laying out our witness unleashed and what it should look like. So, I want to take a closer look at really what he's saying so we can understand how we can represent Jesus in our world right here today in a better way so the gospel's unleashed through us. So Paul begins in verse 8. He's talking about love, right? He gets right to the point about love, and he says something very interesting about love here. He actually cuts straight to the point. He says, we're to owe nothing to anyone. We're not to owe anybody anything but to love them. This already stands out as different, doesn't it? Because what does our world say? You do something bad to me, oh, I owe you one, right? Somebody does something, we want to get back at them. Somebody says something to us, we want to say something bad back. Somebody harms us, we want them to come to judge. Paul says, no, don't owe anything to anybody except to love them. In fact, we live differently, bearing witness of Jesus, when we lead with love. When in our lives, we lead with love. This is our first move, right? Is to love our neighbor as ourself. All of the commandments, Paul says, especially those regarding how we treat others, are summed up or kept when we grasp this commandment to love our neighbors as ourselves. I mean, how can we murder somebody? How can we steal from somebody? How can we commit adultery and break up somebody's marriage or covet what somebody has if we're loving them? If we're loving someone, we can't. And this isn't new, what Paul's bringing up here. This is actually the words of Jesus, isn't it? You know, one day the teachers of the law, the religious elite, came to Jesus and said, what's the most important law? If we were only to keep one law, what's the most important one we should keep? And Jesus said, well, you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But the second is just like it. So I want you to get the second too. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, in this, hold all the prophets and the law. It's all fulfilled in this. So Paul's basically hearkening back to Jesus. Not only did Jesus tell the crowds that, this is what Jesus told his disciples when he was together with them and teaching them, and he's encouraging them. He's basically telling them, you're going to be my witnesses, and he's preparing them. And in John chapter 13, here's what he says to them. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I loved you. You are also to love one another. You see, our love for others is powerful because it comes from the love Jesus has for us. See, we're not conjuring this love up in ourselves. It's coming from the fact and the degree that Jesus loves us. Then we truly can love our neighbor. And this is something that certainly is different than what happens in our world today, isn't it? You think this is a little different than what we're seeing on the news? Yeah, I mean, look at all the craziness going on. People trying to get back at others. People trying to destroy people's reputations, you know, and bullying. People attacking those who disagree with them. And it's easy for us to get caught up in this way of thinking, isn't it? To get dragged down with that because everybody else is doing it, right? I'll respect you if you respect me. You know, I'll be nice to you as long as you're nice to me. And we can fall into that trap as well and fall into the way of the world. But you know what? We are called to be different because the gospel is in us and because of the hope that awaits us. Did you hear that? We're called to be different because the gospel is in us and the hope that awaits us. Now think for a moment. How powerful our witness becomes when instead of returning evil for evil or trying to bury someone in an argument or even trying to step on others so we get what we think we deserve, we instead look out for somebody. We listen to them when they need to share something. We forgive them even if they don't ask for it. And we seek how we can help them or serve them. Do you think that would stand out and look different? This is our witness unleashed, right? Now again, loving our neighbors, it's not the same thing as agreeing with them or accepting their lifestyle or behavior or even their sin. Loving our neighbor doesn't have anything to do with that per se. Rather, loving our neighbor accepts a person, it values them despite their sin. We say, you matter despite your sin. Jesus can take care of your sin. What are we called to do? We're called to love our neighbor. You see, we accept a person despite their sin just like Jesus did when he walked this earth. Just like Jesus did in our own lives when he loved us despite our sin while we were still sinners. Jesus died for us. That's in Romans chapter 5, right? You see, love for others, it's going to stand out and it's going to point others to the source of our love, who is Jesus. And that's a witness unleashed. But Paul continues. He says, it even goes beyond love. And in verse 11, we just looked at that. It kind of puts the spotlight on the return of Jesus. And he says, it's closer than ever. Right? We can always say that. The return of Jesus is closer than it was a minute ago. Now it's closer than it was when I just said that, right? It's getting closer. But Paul says it is at hand, right? And then in verse 12, he notes, he says, the night is far gone. Do you know what basically that means? It's daytime. You know, I love this expression. It's so poetic. Isn't it poetic? Imagine this, you go to Dunkin' Donuts and you go get coffee and somebody next to you goes, hey, good morning, and you look at them and go, the night is far gone. Isn't that a better way? Or this fall when you're trying to wake your kids up for school, instead of screaming at them, "Get up!" you say, "Children, the night is far gone. Awake." This is what Paul's saying, right? He says, the night is far gone. The time for us to be hidden is gone. Basically, day is at hand. So rather than living in darkness, we're to, as he says in verse 12, put on the armor of light. Do you know what he's saying? In other words, what he's saying is we live differently, bearing witness of Jesus, when we walk in the light. Now, what does this mean, to walk in the light? Here's what it means. The time for blending in as followers of Jesus. You know what I mean by that? Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between somebody who doesn't know Jesus and knows Jesus. And you're like, I can't tell. Their lifestyle is so similar. The time for secret saints, you know, where you're like, well, I'll follow Jesus and he'll get me to heaven, but as long as nobody knows, I don't want to put myself in the crosshairs for standing up as a... Paul says that time is done, right? The secret saints are not speaking up as a follower of Jesus or being timid in our witness. That time has passed. Because Jesus is returning soon. There should be an urgency in sharing Jesus with others. We should be praying for those that don't know Jesus. We should be looking for opportunities to share Jesus with people. We should be living intentional lives, basically, is what he's saying. Wake up! Be intentional about the way we're living so that we are a witness for Jesus. So he's saying, step out of the shadows and walk in the light. Be seen as a Christian in our world, and don't be ashamed of it. In fact, that's how Paul starts this whole letter, isn't it? In verse 16 of chapter 1, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." This is what he's getting at here. He's saying, so we should not be ashamed. We should step out into the light. We should be living our changed lives because of Jesus in the midst of our world. Paul says again in Ephesians chapter 5, he says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord." You see, walking in the light means we live out our faith in the midst of our world for others to see. And walking in the light doesn't mean that we're living some fake perfect life in front of people. Sometimes we think being a Christian means I never struggle, I never fall, I never mess up, so I only have to show the good stuff. No, that's not what walking in the light means. It also means that we show ourselves as real people, because that's who we are. We are real people, right? Growing in our relationship with Jesus and what salvation means in all areas of life. So that means we do go through struggles, but you know what? We go through it with hope. It means, yeah, we do fall down, but because of Jesus, we can get back up. It means, yeah, we do mess up, but when we do, we can seek forgiveness because we've experienced forgiveness. Do you see what difference that makes? That's stepping out in the light. It's not being afraid of who we are in Jesus. And Paul also says, you know what? It also means that our world, our lives, in our world, our lives should look different beyond just our love for others. And then he gives some examples. He says, you know, we should be thoughtful in our actions, is basically what he says. Rather than taking a part in mindless pleasures, right? And he mentions things like orgies and drunkenness. If you're involved in those kinds of things, what is that? Oh, I just want to do what feels right. I just want to do what feels good. And whatever comes along, I'll just kind of do it. That's thoughtless living, isn't it? So if Paul's saying don't do that, what he's saying? Put thought into the way we live our lives. He also says we should seek purity. We should seek to do things that please God. We just read that in our Ephesians passage, right? And Paul says, rather than, you know, seeking things that aren't pure, like sexual immorality or sensuality. And also, we should be seeking unity in the way we should live. We should be seeking to come together rather than tearing apart or jealousy and quarreling, Paul says. This is what this looks like to walk in light. Now, think about how this might stand out in our world today. If we're standing up and we are walking in the light. You see, then Christians, rather than us standing and pointing our fingers at everybody and telling them they're wrong and saying, this is so evil, we can be saying, you know what? Jesus is so holy. Jesus is so great. In fact, he saved a sinner like me. He can save anybody. Do you see how that's different? That's what it's meaning to stand up as a Christian in our world today, is that we're pointing to Jesus. Again, Paul's not talking about us trying to be holier than thou or perfect, but rather that we live life for a different standard. We find fulfillment differently than those around us find fulfillment, because we find fulfillment in Jesus. And it's much better than anything else we can imagine. So Paul's saying, you know what? Put up your flag, raise your banner, let people know that you belong and follow Jesus, and that he fulfills more than anything else. He brings joy and peace and freedom to our lives. And he says, walk in the light. So now Paul says, all right, this is what your unleashed witness looks like, right? You love your neighbor as yourself, or you lead with love, and you walk in the light. But he's not done. Verse 14, he kind of closes it out with a final thought. He says, there's one more key to this witness unleashed. He says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we live different, bearing witness of the gospel in us, by not only leading with love and walking in life, but by putting on Jesus. And it's interesting because Paul here uses the full formal name of Jesus, doesn't he? Sometimes Jesus is called Christ, sometimes he's called Jesus, sometimes he's called Lord. You put all them together, it's kind of like when your mom yells at you and uses all your names, right? Well, here Paul is saying, yes, put on our Lord Jesus, the Christ. Our Lord, our leader, our boss, the one who we follow. Jesus, our Savior, who can do for us what we could never do for ourselves. The Christ, God in the flesh. Put that on. We're to put him on, or reflect and exhibit the qualities of this to others, of all that Jesus is. But what does that mean? Well, Paul talks about some of these qualities in Colossians. Some of these qualities of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says this, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, meekness, patience. Isn't this sounding like Jesus? Bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must also forgive, or as Jesus, our boss, leads us in forgiving us. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. You know, here's an important truth for us in our world today. In fact, probably more today than 100 years ago, 30 years ago even. There's this truth, is that we may be the only view of Jesus others may ever see. Do you know that? At your workplace or with your friends or in your family, they might not ever come to a church. They might not ever watch a documentary. They may never pick up a Bible. So the only view of Jesus, the only picture of Jesus they have, is Jesus in you. Jesus in me. It's kind of humbling, huh? So then the question is, if we're to put on Jesus and Jesus is in us, right? Are we loving like he loves? so others see him? Are we forgiving as he forgives so others may see that they can be forgiven too? Are we bearing with others, showing them value as he's done for us? Now, there's an important truth. Even though we may be the only view of Jesus people ever see, we're not Jesus. I'm not Jesus. I am not perfectly holy God in the flesh. I'm far from it. But yet, even though we're not Jesus, we do represent him. Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, right? When he says, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us, or God bearing witness of Jesus through us. An ambassador kind of puts on himself, right, the authority of the one who sends him, the country that sends him. He represents. We represent Jesus. So that we're clothed in him. We put him on, representing him in our world. So that people can see that through us. So they can see what forgiveness looks like. So they can see what righteousness looks like. So they can see what grace looks like through us. Because we have it because of Jesus, who we have put on. You see, we're here at this time and place not to clean up our world. We're not here in our world to clean up our world. We're not here to put a Christian president in the Oval Office. We're not here to bring judgment to other people. We're not here to win Facebook arguments. We're not here so people can look at us and say, you're right. No, we are here in this time and place, closer than ever to the return of Jesus, to be a witness. To be a witness of the gospel, the good news, that we can find forgiveness in sin and life with God forever through Jesus by faith. That's what we bear witness to. When the gospel is unleashed through our lives with love, when it's unleashed with us standing up and standing out for Jesus as we represent him at work, at school, with our family, in our neighborhoods, you know what? Our witness will be noticed. And Jesus will be seen through us. In fact, this is the greatest impact we can have on our culture today, to bear witness of Jesus, the only one who saves, restores, rebuilds, and transforms lives. That's our greatest impact. So what do? We let the gospel be unleashed through us. Today, as we leave here, this week, when we're spending time with other people, we allow the gospel to be unleashed by leading with love, by walking in the light, and putting on Jesus, whom we represent. So that's our challenge. That's our encouragement as followers of Jesus today. Let's pray.